Okay, turn around. Give somebody a high five and hug a couple of girls on your way down. And we're going to tell you what's going on at Girlfriends 2013. Now we're shaking things up a little bit. We're going to shorten things up a little bit. Some of you that need to be out of here by 11 o'clock, you're going to be out of here by 11 o'clock because we know you have busy schedules. Some of you who love your table fellowships, we have tables in the back and you're going to have table fellowships. Some of you that aren't crazy about table fellowships, and some of you have already talked to me about that, we're going to open the Love Rock Cafe at 10:30. And for those of you that want to do the view, kind of a panel kind of a thing, we're going to just send you in there and there's coffee and refreshments and you can just hang out and have a panel discussion and Q&A. And then those of you that love the tables and want your table leaders and table fellowships, because we don't want to flick your click, because if you've found each other and you found friends and you love the tables, we love our table leaders. And they have been fearless and phenomenal leaders in this church. And so we've got tables in the back. And if more of you want tables, we'll put more tables up. What we're doing is we're just giving you options, because we believe God wants us to be open to new things and open to change. And there's a lot of different scenarios in this room. So I know that change is hard. And some of us like things very consistent and very predictable. And then some of us who are a little more hyper like me like to just change things up and not know exactly what's going to happen. And let's just see what happens and go with the flow. And we drive you very structured people crazy. But God's a big God, and he's a God of diversity. And he knows every need that's in this room, and he knows every need that's at the Rock and the women that are at the Rock. And so our goal this year and our heart's desire this year in the women's ministry is to gather as many of the girls as we can, however we can. Gather them in places where we can teach them the Word of God, encourage their hearts, bring hope into their lives. Let faith rise in the heart of every woman in this house, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And faith is the economy of heaven, which reaches into the supernatural, invisible world and brings it into the corporeal, natural world that we all live in. And I don't know about you, but I need the impossible and I need the supernatural this year in my life. I cannot live a normal life. I have too many needs and I've got too many plans, and God's presented me with too many things that he wants Jim and I to accomplish through this church and even outside of this church. So I need the supernatural. So this year for me is going to be a very, very supernatural year. And I want to start a teaching series right now, and I want to call it The Forces That Form Our Future. Forces that form our future. What I mean by that is that so many times you and I can live our lives and we can have things happen to us and we can say, well, it's just how things are. It's the culture I'm living in. It's the time I was born into. It's my family. And that's true to an extent. That is very, very true. We cannot choose who we're born to. We don't pick our families, nor do we pick our cultures, nor do we pick our nations or the time that we're born. We are born into that time. But God is the God of the impossible and the supernatural. And God uses every piece of adversity and everything that is negative in this fallen world to show himself strong to a people that don't know him. And he uses us, his believers, his church, to work through. So even if we were born into a wrong family or born into a certain situation or through no fault of our own, this happened to us, God has a way out and he has a way to change things. Always, he is a God of restoration and he's a God of the absolute impossible. He said over and over, what is impossible with man is possible with me. But many times as believers, we are used to making excuses or looking at life and saying, that's how it is. Or maybe we'll even say, well, you know what? It's the devil. The devil did this. But you know, the devil's not omniscient. He is not all-knowing. He's not omnipotent, all-powerful. And he is not everywhere present. He's a created being that was created on purpose for God's purposes. And the devil can't do anything in my life that doesn't first go through the lens of God and the permission of God. But there are things in my life that I can set in motion if I don't understand the forces that are going to form my future. So there are things that I have to do to put into play in my life to have the absolute best that God has for my life. I can't always blame the devil. I can't always blame my culture or my time zone or my nation or the things and the circumstances that are in my life. God has actually presented me with options. And that's what I want to teach at the beginning of this year, is the options and the forces that actually form our future. And it's the peace that you and I have, not God, not anybody else, but me. Me, myself, and I. And if I understand how these things work, then I can be wise as a woman and I can do the right things this year to have the right results. Are you with me? So how many of you in here right now are believing God for a supernatural year? You need a supernatural year. How many of you are just kind of just status quo right now? Life is good. Things are okay. Anybody in here? Just a couple? No, that's not a bad thing, to be satisfied and to be happy with where you are in life. I hope there's people in here that are there. I hope so. Is there anybody in here? Raise your hands high. God's been good. Life is good. Yeah, good. That encourages me. Yeah, thank you. And some of you in here are brand new, and you don't know your right hand from your left when it comes to the things of God. You're brand new in the kingdom of God, or you're brand new to the word of God, and you're brand new to the kingdom of God as far as how it works. How many of you just really are just learning this stuff and just wanting to see what God has for you? Good. Okay. So there's three groups of people here today. Those that are doing well, those that are believing for the supernatural, which is all of you, and those of you that are new in the Lord. Forces that frame my future, part one. I sow, I reap. Part one. I sow, I reap. I sow, I reap. Now, what does that mean? You know, when Jesus stepped out of eternity, emptied himself of the privilege of his deity, emptied himself, the kenosis, when he emptied out all privilege that went with who he is. He stepped into humanity and took on the form of a man and became a servant and obedient to the point of death on the cross. Because he came to show us what God is like so that we could become sons and daughters of God and imitate God. Because no one had ever been to heaven to see God, and no one had ever been down to hell to see hell. You and I do not have the power to keep ourselves alive, to ascend into heaven or to descend into hell. Would you say that's true? That's a very true statement. So when you don't know what someone is like, you have to learn. I just got a puppy. His name is Linus. He's a Yorkie poo. He's 2.5 pounds, and Jim and I have lost our minds again. Because for those of you that don't know about us, we don't do dogs well. We give them away. This one we're committed to keep. And I'm trying to teach Linus how to go potty outside, potty outside. That's my potty outside, potty outside, potty outside. Linus thinks his name is potty outside. And he is the cutest little thing, but he looks up at me like, huh? What are you trying to tell me? And I realize that unless I was a dog, I really can't speak to Linus. Because I don't know what Linus is thinking and how Linus forms thoughts and how Linus actually can figure things out. I've never been a dog. And Linus has never been a human. And he doesn't understand me. Well, it's the same with God. We couldn't understand him, so he came to show us what he's like and to show us how we can be like him, because we are made in his image. Linus is not made in my image. Linus is a dog. I'm a human being, privileged beyond anything I can understand. Made in the image of God, made for eternity, made to walk in the kingdom of heaven, made to have the business of the Father, which is, fear not, little flock, it's the Father's good pleasure to give you the family business, the kingdom of God. Made to understand how it operates, made to understand how I function in this world like Jesus did. And he came to show us what that is like. So this is show and tell with Jesus. And it doesn't matter whether you're a woman or a man, we are made together in the image of God, because God is not a man. He's not a male or a female. He is God. And we are the female part of the Godhead, and we look like Dad, and Dad wants us to get what he is about so that we can change our lives, our families, our cities, our nation, and our world. But I got to understand how to function, and there are things that are in play in my life, and if I don't get it, and if I don't see it, and I don't understand it, those forces will move me in a direction I don't want to go. And God says, I'm not here to teach you what you can't do. I'm here to teach you what you are supposed to do. So the first one, first force, the very first force that is going to determine my destiny is, number one, I sow, I reap. Genesis 1:11 says, then God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed, and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, the herb that yields seed according to its kind, and the tree that yields fruit, whose seed is in itself according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. God put on the earth a lesson for you and I to understand, because in Galatians chapter 6, verse 7, here's the law. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man or a woman sows, that she will also reap. It's the law of sowing and reaping. We do it every day. It is in the physical realm first, and it is in the spiritual realm second. God knew that we are corporeal beings right now, living in a material world, even though he's in the invisible world of the kingdom, which is all around us. So what works in the natural works in the supernatural. Are you hearing me, girls? What I sow is what I'm going to reap. When I plant a corn seed, I am going to have a harvest of a corn plant. Right? Is that right? When I plant certain things in my life, they are going to reap a harvest and come up, and they are going to produce something in my life. And what is that going to be? Because I am under the law of sowing and reaping. And in Genesis chapter 8, verse 22, God said to Noah, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, and day and night shall not cease. So as long as I am on earth time, as long as I'm on planet earth, I am under the law of sowing and reaping. What I plant is what is going to come up and harvest in my life, in the natural and in the supernatural, in the visible and in the invisible. So there's two things today as we look into the forces that form our future. The first thing we're going to see today is the law of sowing and reaping. And we're going to look at two things today that I want you to walk away with in this class. We're going to look at the field that we plant in and the things that we are planting. All right? Now, God says that my heart or my life is the soil. And I want you to, there's a picture that I want to put up here of a field. And I want you to look at this field. It's coming. I want you to look at this field. There it is. That is a field ready to go, ready to be planted. And I want you to see your life this year in 2013 like that field. That you've got an empty field. And there are things, forces, things that you can put into that field and plant that are going to bring a harvest in your life in 2013, in 2014, and maybe for the rest of your days, depending on what you're planting. So I want you to think right now of the things in your life in 2013 that you want to plant so that you can have a harvest of the things that you need. Because what I need you to do is I need you to see your life as a field and that it's not just something that's arbitrarily going to happen. You're not a victim, and I'm not a victim of circumstances. I'm actually a farmer, and I'm actually a woman of destiny and a woman that has the ability to bind on earth what is bound in heaven, to loose on earth what is loosed in heaven. I'm a woman that's been given the name of Jesus, that name that is above every name, that at the mention of that name, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that he is Lord. I'm a woman that's been filled with the Holy Spirit, given the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I have faith, all I'm ever going to need. I have the love of God shed abroad in my heart, which empowers me. I have the grace of God, which gives me the ability to do what his truth demands of me. I am a woman of God that doesn't have one thing missing in her life, but I'm an empty field, and what am I going to plant? Are you hearing me? So sowing and reaping. In Mark chapter 4, verse 13, Jesus says, he gives us a parable, and a parable is an earthly story with a spiritual truth. He says, if you don't understand this parable, you're not going to understand anything about the kingdom of God, because remember, he came to show and tell, came to teach me about the kingdom, because I've never been there and I've not seen it. And in Mark chapter 4, verse 13, he says, do you not understand this parable? He's talked about the sower that sows the seed. He's explaining the parable now. He says, how then will you understand any of the parables? The sower sows the word. And these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. Verse 16, these likewise are ones sown on stony ground, who have no root in themselves. They receive the word immediately with gladness, and they have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. Verse 18, now these are the ones sown among thorns. They're the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desire for other things enter in and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. But these, verse 20, are the ones sown on good ground, those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. And Jesus is telling them a parable. He starts out with the parable of a sower sows the word, because they were agrarian, they were farmers. He says the first farmer takes his seed, and he puts it on ground that is so hard the seed can't even impact the soil, and the birds of the air come, steal the seed. He says the farmer then takes the next bunch of seed and he throws it on stony ground, and it grows up right away, but as soon as the sun comes and scorches it, it dies because it has no root in itself. He goes on and he says the sower then sows the seed on thorny ground where there's thistles and weeds. And he says, but the thistles and the weeds, they grow up and they choke the seed so the seed can't grow and bear fruit. And then he says, but the sower sows the seed on good ground, and it grows up, and it produces a harvest, some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. Now, what he is saying as he explained this parable to his disciples is there's four kinds of hearts. There's a hard heart that can't receive the word. The word is the seed. The word is the seed. There's a hard heart that can't receive it. And immediately, Satan will come in with everything in the world, and you just let him steal it right out of your heart because you don't care. Your heart's too hard. Then there's the stony heart, the one that, oh, I hear the gospel. I'm excited. I go forward. I say yes to Jesus. But as soon as any trouble comes, then I'm gone. I'm out of here. That's stony ground, and nothing ever happens in your life. Those are the people that aren't saved. They're only lip service, but they never gave their heart. They weren't willing to lay down their life and to follow the Lord. He said, unless you put your hand to the plow and don't look back, you're not worthy of me. You're not fit for the kingdom. This is not for cowards. Then there's the soil that has thorns and thistles. And he says, those thorns and thistles, those are the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches. And they creep in. The lust for other things, the desires for other things, they creep in and they choke the word of God so that you'll never bear any fruit. Oh, you'll make it to heaven, but you'll never have anything to lay at the feet of Jesus. You'll never live a victorious life. You'll always be wondering, why me, why me, why me? And you'll be the victim Christian that never changes. That's not me. I don't want to be that girl. And then there's the good soil. And he says, that's the one that produces. So my field, My field is my heart, my life. And I have to understand that what I sow, I'm going to reap. So I want you to understand your heart, your field. It's empty. What are we going to plant in it? So I need you to become seed conscious this year and not sin conscious. Sin consciousness is condemnation, and I'm always guilty about doing something wrong. Always apologizing, always saying sorry, because I'm never good enough and I'm never doing things right. God says, listen, you've been made blameless. You've been purified. You've been sanctified. If you're born of the Spirit of God, you're washed in the blood of Jesus. We got to move past that mentality of condemnation into maturity in the kingdom of God so you can be used by the King. So God says, stop being so sin conscious, and I need you to be seed conscious. Seed conscious. What does that mean to be seed conscious? It means when I do something or say something or think something, what seed is that and what is it going to plant and harvest in my life? Seed conscious. Am I sowing seeds of negligence into my marriage and yet I want to have a good marriage? Have I turned my heart off to my husband and I'm done? I'm just done. But I tried. See, what are you planting? Are you hearing what I'm saying? Am I sowing anger into my children? You know, I want my children to serve God, but man, they get on my last nerve and I just can't handle it. They are so bad. See, what am I sowing? Because that's going to come up as a harvest. Am I sowing disrespect to my parents? I can't stand my mother. You don't know what she did to me. My father never was a father to me. Well, maybe it's so. And God never said they'd be perfect parents, but he said, honor your mother and your father that your days may be long in the earth. And if there's unforgiveness and a hard heart, that's going to sow death, early death into your life. Are you hearing what I'm saying? See, these are all things that produce a harvest. And our lives are the field. Am I sowing indifference into my church? Well, church is important, but, you know, I'm not going to tithe. I'm not going to serve. I'm not going to volunteer. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to show up when I need to because, you know, it's about me right now. See, what are you sowing that you're going to reap? Seed conscious and not sin conscious. When I do this thought and when I go there with my thoughts, what's going to produce a harvest from those thoughts? Am I going to sneak a peek at some pornography? Am I going to think about another man? Am I going to trail my thoughts over here? You see, those are all seeds that you are planting in your field. How about my actions? If I do this thing, what's it going to produce in my life? What harvest is going to come forth from this action that I do? And words, the things that I say, they are seeds. There's death and life and the power of the tongue. What am I planting and what is that going to produce as a harvest in my life? So, number one, my life is a field. This year, God says, I lay it before you because all things are freely yours to enjoy. I want you to be blessed. I've given you the kingdom of God. I've given you my name. I've given you the wisdom of heaven, the Holy Spirit. I've given you faith. You have all the faith you're ever going to need, child. You just need to know how to access it and use it in your life. You have an empty field that is capable of producing the most amazing harvest that you have ever seen, more than you've ever dreamed. But what are you going to plant this year? You're the field, and God says, I need you girls this year to be seed conscious more than sin conscious. Okay? I know I'm going over and over this, but I tell you, if we just get this, if we get these forces, we'll plant the right things this year and we'll have a harvest that we want. To recognize or to reap a desirable harvest, I'm going to have to learn to recognize a harvest in a seed. To reap a desirable harvest, I'm going to have to learn to recognize a harvest in a seed. To reap a desirable harvest, I'm going to have to learn to recognize a harvest in a seed. If I'm going to garden and I'm going to plant strawberries, I got to know what a strawberry seed looks like, right? If I'm going to plant bananas, I got to know what a banana tree looks like and what the seed looks like to plant the right plant. There is a harvest in everything that there is. There are orange seeds in this orange. Now, I can count the seeds in the orange, but I can't count the oranges in a seed. Are you hearing me? I can count the seed in an orange, but I cannot count the oranges that are in one seed. Because God has made everything to reproduce after its own kind exponentially in good soil. So if I'm going to be a good farmer this year, I got to learn to recognize a harvest in the seed before I plant it. What I think, what I say, and what I do, before I do it this year, I need to stop and think what's going to be produced by this thought or this train of thought. What's going to be produced by this action or this habit that I've gotten into? Maybe you've just gotten into a real sarcastic habit and you just snap at your husband. And you've just gotten used to just being, you know, that's just how you are. That's just how it is. No, it's not how you are. It's how you used to be. How you are now is sweet and kind. Love isn't rude. Love is long-suffering. See, we can change. We don't have to reproduce the same old patterns. You don't want to be like your mom, and yet you're turning into your mom. You know why? Because the same habits and the same familiar spirits and the same things in one family are just trailing on to the next. Sooner or later, somebody's got to stop and say, in the name of Jesus, I'm not planting that behavior anymore. I curse it in the name of Jesus, and I'm planting a new creation behavior in my field. My mom yelled at me, but I am not going to yell at my kids. Holy Spirit, this year, help me to put a watch on my tongue so that I'm not a screamer, but I'm a doer this year. And I get up and I train my children with effort and not with a vocal voice because it's a habit. Are you hearing what I'm saying? We've got to learn to recognize the harvest in a seed. So for you and I to plant a good crop this year, there's a couple things we're going to have to do. First of all, our heart's the field. My life is the field. And God says, be seed conscious this year. Be seed conscious. Understand the law of sowing and reaping. Everything reproduces after its own kind. That's why, girls, we can look at our moms and say, oh, I don't want to be like my mom. And then as you get older, you look, oh my gosh, I am my mom. Right? That's why you see patterns in families that aren't broken. That's why you can see alcoholism going from family to family, from generation to generation, because it's a seed that's been planted, and it just doesn't change because nobody stops the planting. Are you hearing me? Poverty is a seed that is planted first in the heart. You got a poor spirit, you're going to have a poor life. And I'm not talking about blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. I'm not talking about that kind of poverty. I'm talking about the poverty of lack. I'm talking about the poverty of never having enough. I'm talking about the poverty where you can't see yourself past just not even barely paying your bills or paying your rent, but actually a poverty that is cursed and not from God, and where you actually have that broken off of you, and you begin to see what you've never seen and see yourself doing what you've never done and believe for what you've never been able to believe for, because that's the kingdom of God. But until that is broken and you stop sowing it, you're going to reap it year after year after year after year. So, we got to have some selective seed sowing. So what does that mean? I'm going to have to sow the right things this year. So I'm going to give you four things today. Number one, I'm going to have to learn to sow the seeds of godly desire. What I desire is what I pursue. What I pursue is what I will find. What I will find is what I will embrace, and what I embrace is what I will become. What I desire is what I'll pursue. You know, you go after what you want. If people want money more than they want integrity, then they'll go after money, and they'll slip on their taxes, and they'll compromise on their business dealings. You see, what are you sowing? You're sowing the seeds of sin in your life. That'll reap destruction and not the kingdom of heaven. That's why I'm saying everything has an unintended consequence. There is a reaction to every action. That's a law of the universe. And God says, I need you to sow godly desire. What does God want from me? That's why I've got to get into the word. And that's why God says in Proverbs chapter 16, verse 3, this is not a new verse for us, but it's a life verse for me. So I'm going to read it to you again in the Amplified Version. Roll your works upon the Lord. And he will cause, commit them wholly to him. He will cause your thoughts to become agreeable with his will, and so shall your plans be established and succeed. When you don't know what God's desires are for your life, the first thing you do is, Lord, what do you want for my life this year in 2013? What is your burning passion for me this year? What is it that you want me to sow so that I can reap a harvest that will please you? Roll your works, roll your thoughts, roll your plans. Give them wholly to God. Say, God, I don't know what this year holds. You know what my life is. Here, I'm laying it out to you, Lord. Maybe your marriage isn't what you want it to be. Lord, I want to see my husband serving you. I want to see me be a better wife. Maybe your kids aren't hungry for God. I want to see my children loving you and serving you. Maybe you're broke and you're tired of being broke. God, I want to see myself working with a good job and a good education and able to feel good about myself because you've said work is good for me. You've ordained me to work and to use my hands. So God, I need to get into step with your plans. Roll your works upon the Lord, and he will cause your thoughts to become agreeable with his will. Listen, one thing a servant can demand from the master is to know his plan for that servant. God never expected us to read his mind. He wants us to understand and know the mind of God and the will of God. We have the mind of Christ. The Holy Spirit leads us and guides us. So I would say 2013, if you don't know what you want to plant this year, I'd start with just a little essay on yourself. Just do a little inventory. What is it about me that I want to see changed, that God would want to change in my life? Maybe write some things down. Present them to the Holy Spirit. Take your Bible. Go to prayer with him. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you. He's going to start talking to you about Scripture. You're going to start reading, and a verse is going to jump out at you, and it's going to say something to you because God speaks through his Word. It's alive and sharp. The Word of God is life. It is God breathed. It is not just a page of a book. It is God speaking to me. And when I get into the Word gets into me. The Word gives me counsel and instruction. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all Scripture is given by the breath of God. And it's profitable for rebuke, for correction, for teaching, for direction, that the woman of God would be accomplished and she'd be perfected and matured for every good work, furnished in abundance. God wants me to grow up and be whole and healthy and able to access the kingdom of God as an adult. That's the will of God for me, but I got to roll my works on him. It means you and God have to have some conversations. It's a good time to do it. It's the beginning of the year. Godly desires. Listen, the seed of dissatisfaction is not a bad seed, because sometimes we get so used to the status quo of our lives that we just accept it. I guess this is how it is. I guess I'm just a single mom. I guess I'm just going to be poor. I guess the statistics are right. 71% of all single mothers with children out of wedlock are going to be in poverty, according to statistics. Listen, we have sown seeds of destruction. My generation sowed the seeds of free love. My generation sowed the seeds of rebellion in the women's movement. My generation sowed many seeds, and we are reaping those seeds right now. And we are not better off than we were. My mom is 86 years old in another 2 weeks. She will have been married to my father for 67 years. My father and my mother would have been divorced in this generation because no one would have stayed with my dad. But my mom, as a Christian woman, said, I don't care, I'm staying. I'm going to sow this. And now she's reaping a man that's still alive, that she has a partner and she's in love with. And she's 86 and he's 87 and they've been married 67 years. Because she sowed difficult seeds in her field when everybody else was doing something else. What am I saying, girls? The status quo. We got to get rid of it because it is what it is, is not what God says. When you say it is what it is, no, it isn't. It is what God says it is. That's how it goes. It is what God says it is. Are you a single mom? Are you in poverty? Well, guess what? You don't have to stay there, according to God, because God has the kingdom of God for you. God has fathers for you and brothers for you. He's got people. people in your life, in the church, and in the kingdom of God that he wants to bring to help you raise those kids. He's got a job for you. He knows that you need money. He knows what you need. It isn't what it is. It's what God says it is. But if I'm going to sow those seeds of, I guess this is it, I guess I stay on welfare, I guess I collect food stamps, I guess this is just how it is, then that's how it's going to be. But it doesn't have to be how it really has to be, because you're a daughter of God, and God says you can do what he tells you to do, and you can rise up and be the mom you need to be, work the job you need to work, and raise those kids to be sons and daughters of God. It can happen, but you're going to have to sow some seeds of dissatisfaction with the status quo and get up and get off our butts and change. Are you mad at me? Number two, I'm going to have to sow the seed of discipline. You can't have what you want only doing what you want to do. You can't have what you want to. You can't have what you want to have only doing what you want to do. You can't have what you want to have only doing what you want to do. You can't have what you want to have only doing what you want to do. You can't have what you want to have only doing what you want to do. I can't have what I want to have only doing what I want to do. Because what I want to do is not always what I need to do if I'm going to have what I don't have. I can't lose weight if I don't change my eating habits. If I don't change what I put in my mouth, I'm not going to change how my body's going to look. And I can go shopping and hate my body, but I have no one to complain to because I don't exercise and I don't put the right food in my body. So guess what? My field is harvesting what I put in it. Are you hearing me? See, we can't blame the devil. We can't blame our mother's figures. We can't blame anybody else. God says, I want this to come home because you can change. You can have a different field. I can't have what I want to have if I'm not willing to do what I've never done. I can't have a job if I'm not willing to get up and go look for one and do something and start somewhere and get back into the job market. There's jobs out there. They're just not jobs we want because they don't pay enough. And I can't live on that. I can live better on food stamps and welfare and government handout. Yeah, right now you can, but what about the harvest down the line? Because where you start is not where you're going to end up if you do the kingdom of God. And if you go to that job and you're the best, you're the first person there and you're the last one to leave, you're the one with a good attitude when everybody else has a bad attitude, out of your mouth doesn't come complaining, but out of your mouth comes blessing. You're willing to work. You're willing to work hard. You're willing to be the best one there. You're willing to pack the best hamburger you can pack. You're willing to pack up the best drinks you can pack up. You're willing to be the one at the window that says, oh, have a wonderful day. Thank you for being here at McDonald's today. You see, maybe it's not a glamorous job, but you're a glamorous girl and you bring the beauty of the kingdom and you bring God to that place, but you got to be willing to start somewhere. We don't have to stay poor in this city. God is saying to us, wake up. You've got the kingdom in front of you, but what do you want in your field this year? Next year, the year after? You know what? You may start at the window of McDonald's, but you could end up owning the franchise. But you'll never own the franchise if you're not willing to start at the window. Ruth gleaned in the fields of Boaz. She was a poverty widow that was from the wrong tribe, the wrong race, at the wrong time. In Bethlehem, she was from Moab. And as she gleaned in those fields, she had no idea. As she's serving her mother-in-law, feeding her mother-in-law, helping her, she had no idea that the very field she gleaned in was going to be the field she would own and that she would be the ancestress of Jesus Christ. But she had to start somewhere. God says, you're going to have to start with some discipline. You can't have what you want to have by doing only what you want to do, because my feelings are not going to have me do what God wants me to do. I want to eat cake and coconut cream pie I want to eat sugar. I want to eat everything in the world but vegetables and brown rice and lean meat. I want to eat everything else but that. I want to drink Diet Cokes. I just want to eat whatever I want to eat when I want to eat it. But guess what? The 10 pounds that I've put on over this last year that I can't get into any of my clothes is because I have done what I want to do and not what is good for me. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The seeds of discipline. Listen, you want to have money? You got to start doing a couple of things. Discipline. Tithing? Yes, tithing. It means you trust God with your money. If it's 50 cents, it's the widow's mite. It's everything to God. It's everything to God. It may be only 50 cents. You may put 50 cents in the offering. And the devil says, what are you doing? It means nothing, 50 cents. No, it means everything to heaven. It means everything to heaven. That mite is mighty. That little 50 cents, if it's given from your heart out of your need, is everything. It means more than the $500 check somebody like me can put in the offering because I have a good salary. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I'm giving out of my abundance. You're giving out of your need. It's everything to God. Everything to God. So what I'm trying to say to you girls is your life is the field and this is a supernatural field. This is not the natural. You got a dollar to put in the offering. Oh, God, this is my dollar. God, this is my 10 cents. God, this is my $5 for the month. God, but you start doing something to break that poverty spirit off of you and you say, oh, hell no, you're not going to keep me broke and busted and disgusted. Hell, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. I'm a giver, I am generous, and I am believing God for the supernatural in my life. Sowing the seeds of discipline. Number three, keep your soil good. Man, there's weeds, thorns, and thistles that want to come in and want to just choke that word. That what you're sowing this year, Satan's going to try to just get everything in the world to grow into that soil so it won't produce a harvest. But you say, oh no, I'm going to be diligent to weed out my garden. The cares of this world, the deceitfulness of materialism, the lust for other things, I'm not going to go there. It's going to plant a seed that will choke the word. I'm not going to go there this year. And the last one, sow the seed you have, not the seed you don't have. God doesn't ask me to sow what I don't have. He tells me to sow what I do have. When that widow that had children and they were going to be taken away from her, she said to the prophet Elijah, what am I going to do? They're going to steal my kids. They're taking my sons because my husband's in debt. The prophet said, what have you got in your house? And she said, nothing but a little oil. It's all she had was a little bit of oil. He said, go get all the jars you can get. She got all these jars from all her neighbors. She said, and he said, now pour the oil. And she started pouring that oil. And that oil multiplied, and it multiplied, and it multiplied, and it multiplied into every jar until all the jars that she'd collected had stopped, and she'd filled them all, and then the oil stopped. You see, my job is to go get the jars. God's job is to multiply the oil. I can't do what God can only do, and God will not do what I have to do. Are you hearing me? I got to go get the jars. I got to believe God. I've got to absolutely sow what God has given me. Everybody's got something. You've got something in your life. Maybe you got time this year. Maybe you're old and you're feeling depressed and my life is over and everything's behind me. I know those feelings because they're coming at me fast and furious. Nobody teaches you about being old. That's why old people get depressed because everything's behind them and not in front of them. And God says, you don't have to do old age that way. You can do old age in a whole new way, and the way of the kingdom. What have you got? You got time. You got some energy. You got breath. You're still moving. You're still breathing. You can be a teeter. Maybe that's a new word. A teeter tooter. Come and help us with the kids on Wednesday nights. Let's tutor them so they get better grades in the public schools. If you can't afford Christian school, bring them here and let's start some tutoring classes. There's so much we can do if we'll just start to sow something. What have you got? You got something. You got a life. You're breathing. If you put a mirror in front of your face and there is fog on it, you are alive and you're breathing and you've got something. You can have time to pray when nobody else can pray. Maybe you can begin to write down scriptures and pray for the church and pray for the pastors and pray for the single moms here, girlfriends, and pray and pray and pray and pray and pray and sow your time in prayer. But you can do something. Everybody's got something to give. But what are we sowing? All right, I'm done. I'm way over time. Listen, this is a series, Forces That Form Our Future. We're starting out with Our Lives Are a Field. This year, God says, what do you want to plant? I've given you the kingdom. What can you believe me for? Where are you willing to start with me, God says. Nothing is impossible to those who will believe. God says, go. Take inventory. Talk to me. Take your Bible with you. Write down the scriptures he gives you. Wait for the Holy Spirit. They'll jump out at you. You'll read your Bible and a scripture will just go, boom. You go, I never saw it like that before. Read it again. Read it again. Ask the Holy Spirit, what are you saying to me in this verse? Because he's talking to you. He'll tell you what he wants for your life this year. He'll tell you what he wants you to start to plant this year. So, what have we learned today? You are a field. Sow the seeds of godly desire. Sow the seeds of godly discipline. Keep my soil good. And sow what I have, not what I don't have. And watch God begin to bring a harvest of the kingdom into our lives in 2013. Girls, forces that form our future, our part. God wants us successful. I want you successful. I want, you know what, we're believing right now to pay this church off. Free and clear, $13 million. Banks won't loan to us. We're churches. You know, the Muslims have a lot of money. They are just coming in and buying churches. You see, that's wrong. We need to start believing God. Understand that might is mighty in his hands. Maybe we're women with not a lot of money, but that never meant anything to God. Women are mighty when they learn how to give generously and believe God for their families and their finances. And there are businesses sitting right here, right now. There are businesses right now that are being birthed in your hearts. God says, this county, it may be broke, but it's not busted because he's here and we're here. And he walks here just like we do. There are jobs and there are factories and there are things to be born right here at Girlfriends. Let's have faith this year.